Welcome to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. A decade ago, Ohioans overwhelmingly voted to establish a state constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. A new poll shows that things could change. Now half of all Ohioans support gay marriage, according to the latest Quinnipiac poll. Coming up, we'll hear from two groups that want to make same-sex marriage legal in Ohio and about why they disagree on the timing. Joining us now to talk about the poll is Peter A. Brown. He's assistant director of the Quinnipiac University Polling Institute. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So what was the big demographic shift? I assume not everybody shifted.
Well, the shift has been large over time, certainly since the amendment was passed. But lately, it has been a much smaller shift. If you look at the last couple of years, Quinnipiac asked similar questions in December of 2012 and April of 2013 and now in February of 2014. And the wording was slightly different, but it was basically, do you approve or disapprove of same-sex marriage? In 2012, for instance, it was 47-45 no. 6 months later, in April of 2013, it was 48-44 yes. A relatively small change, but it happened to flip it in terms of with the plurality. And then when Quinnipiac asked again last week, and as reported on Monday, it was 50-44 yes. So the change has been incremental in the last couple of years. The big change is, you know, before that, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're seeing is that more independents are supportive of the idea of gay marriage. Obviously, and incrementally, you're seeing changes across the board in all demographic groups. What we have always thought to be true is true. The younger you are, the more supportive you are of gay marriage. Data is pretty clear about that. The numbers are just a little higher in each of these groups. Democrats are more supportive of gay marriage than Republicans. Women more supportive than men.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I'm talking with Peter Brown. He's assistant director of the Quinnipiac University Polling Institute. And we're talking about that new poll that shows that half of all Ohioans now approve of gay marriage. Your poll did not specifically address the proposed amendment to overturn the 2004 amendment that restricts marriage to one man and one woman in Ohio. From a polling standpoint, how might that affect the results?
Well, obviously, if we asked a specific question about a specific vote,
mm-hmm.
just as when we ask about a race, say, for governor, we're asking about specific candidates, and if we had worded it about that potential vote, that would be more applicable to trying to figure out what would happen on election day. But it's important to know that it's difficult to ask complicated polling questions. So in terms of gay marriage, as I understand it, the pro-gay marriage groups are somewhat divided on, for instance, on what year's ballot they want it on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to ask specific questions. That's why we stuck with the question of support or oppose the idea. But you are correct that the number for support and oppose wouldn't necessarily translate directly into the number for support or oppose repealing the constitutional amendment.
Does the change in Ohio reflect the rest of the country? Is it keeping pace, ahead of the curve, behind the curve? What?
Oh, as Ohioans know, because every 4 years they see more television commercials than in the presidential race than any other American. Ohio is the heart of it all. It is the best microcosm of a state in the United States, and the views in Ohio, on almost everything, are pretty much in line with the national model, and it's true on gay marriage also.
You said that the younger you are, the more likely you are to support gay marriage. So every year there's another batch that turn 18. And when you're polling, is that your cutoff point, age 18? What do you define as young? And
well, do you support or oppose allowing same-sex couples to get married in Ohio? That was the question we asked that we reported on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
71% of those 18 to 29 say yes. 52% of those 30 to 49 say yes, 51% of those 50 to 64 say yes, and 33% of those over age 65 say yes. So clearly you can see that there's an age curve.
What about undecideds? Has that changed much?
Well, when it's 50-44, your undecideds 5 mm-hmm. or 6. No, not a big change. I mean, you know, gay rights as a panoply of issues, not just gay marriage, has obviously become a huge deal in American politics. And the swiftness in which public opinion has changed, given the, again, Ohio, you know, banned it in its constitution, mm-hmm. and now there is, you know, a marginal plurality for it, at least in terms of public opinion. Whether or not it would pass or not on the ballot is a different issue. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty breathtakingly fast change in public opinion.
On anything.
Right, on anything, yes. So this is an issue that you know, remember, gays in the military used to be a major controversy. It was changed, and these days, it's, you know, the polling shows, I don't have a question in front of me, my memory is that there's pretty good public support for it.
Mm-hmm. So it's really just a function of one group of people dying and another group of people being born?
Well, no, because a lot of the people who are alive who were against it, for instance, in Ohio, when your state voted to ban it in the Constitution, are still alive, and a percentage of them have decided to change their minds.
Do we know what's changing their minds?
Well, I mean, obviously there's been a high-profile effort by a number of different parts of society mm-hmm. to increase with increasing acceptance of gay rights issues, to use a word to try to lump them all together. Mm-hmm. And you know, the more homosexuality becomes a part of everyday life for people, in other words, they have relatives or friends who may be gay, or maybe just friends whose relatives are gay, it becomes more of an everyday occurrence. It's pretty clear that many gay people are much more confident publicly declaring their sexuality. And therefore, Tom and Joe Buckeye, who thought, well, I don't know anybody who's gay, finds out that some people they know are gay, and they may like those people, and it may cause them to rethink their views.
How have the poll results, are you polling in other states as well on this issue, and how does Ohio compare?
Ohio is not different than the other states we poll. I mean, the numbers may be slightly different, but mm-hmm. There is increasing acceptance of gay marriage, of the concept of gay rights in this country. You know, not surprisingly, because there is a political tint to this, support is greater in what we would call the blue states than in the red states. And in a state like Ohio, which is, you know, a swing state, it's in between. There is a direct correlation between political philosophy and party identification and views on this issue, in large part, frankly, because there's a great correlation between religiosity and partisan behavior in this society.
Tell me again, did you say that Republicans did change, that the numbers changed significantly, or no?
Well, I don't have the splits from the earlier years in front of me.
Okay.
But it is obvious that it did. It would have to be, mm-hmm. because it changed across the board. More Democrats still support the idea of gay marriage than do Republicans, by a fairly 66% of Republicans oppose gay marriage in Ohio, compared to 29% of Democrats. Independents, 41%, are in the middle.
Peter Brown, since things are changing so quickly, how often do you feel, how do you plan your schedule of polling on issues like this that are changing so quickly?
It depends. We try to be topical. Much of what we do is election related.
Mm-hmm.
We ask some issue questions, and we vary it. we, for instance, have been asking questions about legalization of marijuana in a variety of states, including Ohio. And so it's a matter of what's topical, how much room we have on the questionnaire.
And like with gay marriage, there's increasing a very increasingly fast acceptance of the legalization of marijuana, too.
Well, there is certainly on the notion of marijuana for medical case.
Okay.
87% of Ohio voters in this poll we released Monday support allowing adults in Ohio to legally use marijuana for medical purposes if their doctor prescribes it, is how the question went. So it was 87% in favor, and that's pretty similar to what we're seeing in other states. We then asked, after that question, we asked whether voters thought marijuana should be legalized for recreational use. And that's a little, that's different. Let's see if I can find that number. The question was, do you support or oppose allowing adults in Ohio to legally possess small amounts of marijuana for personal use? And that split 51 yes, 44 no. That's a slight margin. It's outside the margin of error, but it's not humongously large. But again, there's large it splits by age and partisanship. 33% of Republicans favor allowing what's called recreational use. 56% of Democrats, but 61% of independents. And on this one, men are much more supportive than women. 59% of men, only 44% of women. And guess what? The younger you are, the more supportive you are.
Right. I imagine these two ideas, these two concepts will be tracking each other for a while.
Yes. I mean, I think it's, that's pretty clear that on these questions, the constituencies are pretty similar.
Except for when it comes to men.
Well, men, in terms of, yes, I see what you're getting on same-sex marriage. But the difference between men and women on same-sex marriage is smaller than the difference between men and women on marijuana.
Huh.
You got a 15-point spread of men over women in support of marijuana. And let me go find you the same-sex marriage. The difference is only 9 points on marijuana, with women 9 points more likely to support it.
Okay.
Or support gay marriage than men.
Peter Brown, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
You
Keep
too.
Warm.
Thank you. Peter Brown, he's assistant director of the Quinnipiac University Polling Institute. Coming up, we're going to hear from the director of Freedom Ohio and talk about why they want gay marriage on the ballot in November. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. A decade ago, Ohio voters overwhelmingly approved a state constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in Ohio. A new poll has shown that things can change. The latest Quinnipiac poll shows that half of all Ohioans now approve of same-sex marriage. One group of proponents for same-sex marriage wants to put the issue on the ballot as early as November. Another one wants to wait. Joining us now is Ian James of Freedom Ohio. It's a statewide nonprofit established to bring about the repeal of the same-sex marriage ban that was put in place in 2004. They want it on the ballot in November. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
The latest Quinnipiac poll puts the approval rating for same-sex marriage at just 50% in Ohio. How does that translate for you at the voting booth in November?
Well, we continue to see the trend lines go the right direction for us for marriage equality. For us, it's not gay marriage. It's actually just called marriage. We want everybody to be treated equally. Don't think that's too much to ask. But the polling continues to evolve, and it continues to show that as people have the conversation about why marriage equality matters, that they actually do, in fact, move our way. But it's also, as Peter was just talking about, it's not just that people are are you know, having conversations and dying, but it's also this knowledge of others who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. Our polling in December showed that 85% of Ohio voters know someone that's LGBT. And the more knowledge you have of others and the more that people come out and have these kind of conversations and get out of their comfort zones, the better the numbers are for marriage equality.
So as it goes, we were talking with Peter Brown about those trend lines and how they've changed from 47-45 no in 2012 mm-hmm. to 48-44 yes in mm-hmm. 2013 and to the current 50-44 yes. Can you get to a critical point that you need to pass this by November? Do you see that much change? Because 50-44 is pretty close.
Well, here's the thing, Ann. Voters don't vote on concepts. They actually vote on specifics. And the specific language of the Ohio Freedom to Marry and Religious Freedom Amendment, we have 56% of Ohio voters in December supporting that amendment. And
according to your polls,
from our polling, we have 56% of Ohio voters supporting the Freedom to Marry and Religious Freedom Amendment and 34% of Ohio voters opposing. And that's because it's not just a concept. It's a reality. This is what you will get when you vote yes. This is what you will get when you vote no. We have it so that when voters vote yes, they are saying that two people should be able to be married and that their house of worship has the right to refuse to perform and recognize that marriage.
The house of worship issue has mm-hmm. been an issue, one of several, with people who are worried about the wording. They're worried it can be misused.
Mm-hmm. Are they really worried about that, or are they really worried about who's controlling the campaign that's winning the hearts and minds of Ohio voters?
Is that what you think is really going on?
I absolutely believe that's what's in the hearts and minds of those that want to, that say they oppose. This is about command and control. This is not about a line. This is just about who's going to actually run the campaign. And you and I have been sitting here talking about it for the last 2 years. I've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it. I know others have seen it. Business leaders have seen it. And it's sad because it doesn't advance marriage equality the way we need it to. We need to work together on this.
The issue of control and who's controlling what cuts both ways. Other people could easily say it's Ian James and his group that want to control everything. That's difficult to define who wants to control what. But
well, here's the thing. We've waited for 9 years for Equality Ohio to win anything statewide. There were a lot of folks that got to the point of just being tired of waiting. You know, this notion of waiting to win. Let's wait to win and then instead of rushing to lose. It's a great soundbite, but we would rather work to win and make sure that we're actually having those kind of conversations around Ohio, not just in Columbus where it's easy, but in places like Meigs County, in places like Fulton County, in places all across the state where you get out of your comfort zone, you actually talk about why marriage equality matters. It's easy to sit in Columbus in an office and talk about gay marriage. It's a lot more difficult to go into Adams County along the river or into, I don't know, Coshocton and have that kind of conversation. Well, guess what? We've been doing that for 2 years and gotten the signatures as we've been doing it and identifying support. That's the difference. It's a difference between waiting and working.
How much will it cost to run a campaign statewide on this issue and win in November, do you think?
Well, I think it could cost as much as $12 million rather.
In your fantasy dream.
It would be wonderful if it was $12,000 and we'll take a check right now from you, Ann. No, it could cost as much as $12 million. It may not cost that much. It depends really on what the polling says as we move into this, right? And it also depends on, as we see, you've got 4 out of 10 Republicans supporting the amendment. You've got 8 out of 10 Democrats supporting and 5 out of 10 independents. This continues to grow and we see great movement of support to the amendment and marriage equality.
I would imagine that most of your supporters, if that's the case, mm-hmm. Are in the big major metropolitan areas where media is pretty expensive. But the places that you need to work are the Adams Counties, the Coshoctons, and so forth. And that's harder to reach they don't you don't reach them the same way. There's fewer of them, and
right. Well, that's exactly why Freedom Ohio has been working so hard to spread out, to decentralize, to make sure we have actual, you know, people in those counties talking to their neighbors. It's not about sending me to Adams County to have this conversation with folks I've never met, but I'm sure they're lovely. It's about making sure that we're having the conversations locally and having a community dialogue. It's decentralization, and that's what we've been focused on the last 2 years to make sure that we have that. You know, we have Farmers for Freedom to Marry. I know that sounds odd, but Farmers for Freedom to Marry, Hunters for Freedom to Marry, Republicans for Freedom to Marry. You know, this is how we win in Ohio. It's not this abstract, we're going to have a whole bunch of town hall meetings and invite people in. It's actually getting into the ground and talking with people and getting, again, having that uncomfortable conversation about, oh my gosh, gay marriage.
Let's go back to the house of worship thing.
Yes.
We've discussed now the issue of control.
Yes.
So let's go back to that. Why was that line included in it?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that you win in Ohio. This is not, you know, this is Massachusetts. And this isn't that hotbed of liberalism, Iowa, either, right?
Yeah.
You know, where they got that gay marriage going on every day. This is, in fact, a pretty purple state. And it is pretty purple. So you've got to make sure that you're inclusive, not exclusive. And you're making certain that you're defining who has the right to marry, right? Anybody who's consenting adult, not near of kin and second cousin, not having a husband or wife living. But then also that churches, mosques, temples, synagogues have the freedom to decide who they're going to marry and who they're going to recognize, whose marriage is going to recognize. The notion that a religious institution is, you know, the Hobby Lobby, for God's sakes, is silly. And no one seems to be able to put together a written legal opinion that says that's what this says. It's a lot of conjecture. It's a lot of, as my Granny James from Kentucky would say, it's fear, smear, and don't look here.
So you're thinking that if you give people the comfort zone of not being forced to have marriages performed in their house of worship, if that's what's decided,
mm-hmm.
if they otherwise don't have a problem with gay marriage.
Right, because they say, you know what, 85% of Ohio voters know someone that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. So if they know, have some knowledge of them, us, me, right, you know, I'm gay. Don't tell my mom. They know someone who's gay, they are more inclined to say, okay, I want you to have the same rights as everybody else, but I'm not sure that really works in my, you know, my pretty white church down the road on the dirt, you know, down this dirt road. And I think that's fair. But they want to also say, you know what, you should have the right to family security that comes from marriage, because that's what marriage provides. You should be able to go to the courthouse and get married, but maybe not at my house of worship. Unless, you know, my house of worship says, okay.
What's the big deal about waiting 2 more years and having the support of that of the other group that we're going to be hearing from in a minute, Why Marriage Matters, Ohio?
I'm looking forward to
that. I'm looking forward. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Well, here's the thing. It's, you know, we waited for 9 years for them to do anything here and win in Ohio. And I think that at a certain point, you know, we have a lot of military families who, when they are on base, they have all the rights, privileges, benefits, and protections of marriage. But as soon as they step 1 inch off of that base, off that military base in Ohio, they do not have those rights. We have a lot of folks who are at the end of their life who are married in other states, like John Arthur and Jim Obergefell. They've had to sue, and we shouldn't wait for someone to die to have your marriage recognized. This is about family security. This is about making certain that we treat everybody equally. This is about making sure that we are seeing and appreciating the worth and value of all of our citizens, and waiting until that happens. Waiting is not, you know, waiting to win is telling me that it's just lazy to win.
Now let's put on our political campaign hat for
Got
a second.
It on.
You know, okay. What about the issue of the governor's race? All the statewide races are on the ballot. Do they help or hurt? Could someone like a John Kasich running for re-election bring out more voters than you would in an off year?
Well, I think Phil Burris would like to believe that, but that's not the case.
Phil Burris being?
The Citizens for Community Values, mm-hmm. Self-proclaimed thrice married porn addict, if I remember correctly. The reality is that 4 out of 10 Republican base voters support the amendment, fewer than a majority oppose. So it's really not what it used to be. It's not 2004 anymore. Ohioans have evolved in their concept. 8 out of 10 Democrats support the amendment. You know, this is not the boogeyman of 2004 where Republicans would run away from it and Democrats would be fearful. This is about inclusion. That's why, you know, Jim Petro, the former attorney general and state auditor, chancellor of the Board of Regents, is on our side and working with us on Republicans for Freedom to Marry. We're not going to put this on the ballot to hurt or help any party or candidate. We're putting this on the ballot to make certain that Ohioans have the freedom to marry so they can have the family security that everybody deserves.
Poll results show the importance of young people in supporting the issue, but they aren't the most reliable voters, particularly for a gubernatorial midterm election. They like to get out and vote for president. So what about that?
Well, here's the thing about this issue in particular is that it is an aspirational issue. Voters that are younger, women voters, minority voters, they're called the rising American electorate if you listen to folks in D.C. That's also what we call at Freedom Ohio the base. Right. That's our base voters. They want this issue. They want this issue on the ballot. They will turn out for it. It's not like folks live in some, you know, dark, decentralized bits of Addis Ababa. We do know how to reach voters. Right. We do know how to contact them by phone, by email, door knocking, what have you. And so we have been identifying hundreds of thousands of voters across the state who support the issue. And it's about identifying them and then mobilizing them. And, you know, no matter what happens with the legislature, there still is going to be early voting. So you don't have to go to, you know, walk yourself to the polls. We can get you a ballot. We can help you make sure that you get that in and win for marriage equality.
Getting back to how much all of this will cost, we have an email from Terry. You mentioned the number $12 million. Mm-hmm. He writes, or she, please ask Ian to explain the plan to raise the millions required to be successful in 2014. Their organization has had less than $30,000, according to their most recent report. They need to be raising millions each month between now and November. Millions maybe is an exaggeration, but you need to be raising a lot more money.
Right. Well, you can go to freedomohio.com, and then we have a donate button there. You can actually go there and contribute, Terry, if you'd like to do that. We appreciate it. But we're also reaching out to other folks across the state to continue to raise money. Look, this isn't going to be easy, but thus far we even have invested at Freedom Ohio over $1 million in building a winning campaign that has 56% of Ohio voters support. And that's the highest level of support in any of any ballot issue in the country. We have the lowest level of opposition at 34 than any other ballot issue in the country. So, and we've done that, by the way, without the assistance of these other, you know, well-intentioned groups.
Aren't you affected by the fact that there's this other group out there that is opposing you on this? They support marriage rights, you know, but they oppose the timing. I mean,
well, here's the thing.
Isn't it going to confuse potential donors?
Well, we call them gastroturf organizations. It's like gastroturf. It's like astroturf.
Okay.
It's no grassroots, no transparency, just a lot of money on the top to make certain that they can bring people in from out of state to run this thing and make it appear to be doing something. Because if they do nothing, they can't sell what they're, you know, you can't get people to buy what they're trying to sell. So gastroturf is the term that we're looking for there. And the buzzer goes off.
Okay.
And, you know, we would love to have their support, gastroturf or otherwise. But thus far, this grassroots army of people with 10,000 volunteers has built a pretty good, responsible campaign that's winning.
Besides the grassroots support that you're generating, $30,000 is not a lot of money at this point. You've spent a lot of your own money up to this point. What are your strategies for raising money?
Well, it's everything from getting on the phones to calling people across the country.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that does, you know, that is the way you do raise money in. It is also sending out lots and lots of emails. It is communicating with people of like minds who have contributed to other campaigns to make certain that they understand that this is a winning campaign. And frankly, you know, It does get easier, of course, with the other folks being on board, but I think that it's pretty clear that that's not their mission. Their mission is to wait, wait, wait. And that's, you know, we would rather be, frankly, we'd rather be the headlights pointing to a just society rather than the brake lights for the community.
You want to get on the phone, you're going to do all the usual fundraising.
I might call you. I probably will.
And
expect my call.
But there is still a group working against you, and you call them
GastroTurf.
But the fact is, they're very connected with national organizations that would typically be supporting this. So are there any other states that are working on campaigns like this right now? Is Ohio, are you competing with anything else?
That's a great question because there, you know, just the other day, Oregon just shelved their petition, right? They were told too that 2012 was the wrong time to go forward because it was a presidential election cycle. And it was the GastroTurf organizations that did that, right? So they said, don't do this in 2012, wait until 2014. And then in 2014, that came and they got the signatures and they were proceeding. And then just last Thursday, they shelved the signatures. Why? Because the attorney general there decided that, you know what, the attorney general was not going to defend the state's marriage ban. So they said, let's wait to win at the courts.
Do you agree with that?
No. Like, keep moving forward. Like, what the hell is wrong with people? Move forward. People are looking for leadership. They're not looking for, you know, somebody to tell them to continue to wait for, you know, you wait for whatever. I got Mike Primo telling me from New Jersey, he's a wonderful human being, a straight married guy, coming to Ohio to run Why Marriage Matters Ohio, and he's telling us to wait. Now, I'm sorry. That is a little bit of a stretch to have a straight white man who's married tell gay folks, you got to wait for the rights that he has, or have people come from D.C. and New York to say, you know what, you're going to love marriage equality when you get it, but you got to wait for it. Now, I'm getting back on my plane, and as soon as I step off that plane, I've got marriage equality. I mean, come on. This is about Ohio ATM machine politics. We're a great ATM. You keep the money rolling out of Ohio to help other states to keep your doors open, but you're not solving the problem here in Ohio. Freedom Ohio is changing that, and we're moving this along to make sure that we can win.
Ian James, he's director of Freedom Ohio. No, he will not be on in the next segment. But, you know, maybe sometime in the future we'll take that.
Sorry to be so confrontational.
But no, Ian, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ian. Appreciate it.
Coming up, Michael Primo. He's the campaign manager for Why Marriage Matters Ohio. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. A decade ago, Ohio voters overwhelmingly approved a state constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. A new poll has shown that things have changed, as the polls have been showing over the last 3 to 4 years. The latest Quinnipiac poll shows that half of all Ohioans now approve of same-sex marriage. One group of proponents for same-sex marriage wants to put the issue on the ballot this coming November. Another wants to wait. Here to talk about why Ohio should wait is the campaign manager for Why Marriage Matters Ohio, Michael Primo. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Why do you think we need to wait until 2016 for a vote on the issue of same-sex marriage in Ohio?
Well, first of all, I want to mention that Why Marriage Matters Ohio is a partnership of state partners who have been on the front lines for LGBT rights for decades, and also the national partners that have been involved in every marriage equality victory in the country, from the first in Massachusetts to the most recent in New Mexico. So combining those experiences brings together a very powerful coalition of folks. And we did analysis of all of the information that we had available and looked at all of the polling for the 2014 electorate. And we have seen that polling is around the mid-40s. It's been our experience that for a marriage equality amendment to be successful at the ballot, support for that year's electorate has to be 55%. And we know that we have a lot of work to do, and that's why we made the decision that 2014 is not the year, and that we're going to invest in a robust public education campaign leading up to 2016.
We talked about the Quinnipiac poll earlier. Things are changing very quickly, maybe not incrementally, however. So 50% is not good enough.
Well, 50% is great news, and it shows that support is growing, and it shows that the volunteers who are out every day from various different organizations talking about marriage equality are having an impact. We want to continue those conversations because we need to get that level up. 50% in a poll does not, first of all, it was a poll of registered voters, not likely voters. Second of all, it's 50% in a poll doesn't mean 50% on election day. Mm-hmm. What we've seen in other campaigns is that when the opponents of marriage equality start running their ads, their negative ads with fear and divisiveness, that support wavers a little bit because that 50% isn't rock solid. And so we need to have a little cushion for victory. And that's why 55% is a margin that we feel comfortable going forward at.
And you think Ohio will reach that by 2016?
Yeah, I think the Quinnipiac poll shows that in combination with kind of the natural growth of support for marriage equality, coupled with a robust public education program, which is what we are doing, we will be ready in 2016.
How do you respond to Ian James, who makes the salient point that why wait? We're tired of waiting. Why are people coming in and telling us to say, we've got the signatures, we're ready to go. Why wait?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I don't want to wait either, and none of our coalition partners want to wait. We would love to be able to go this year, but we have a responsibility to the families that are being impacted to get it done and get it done right. And that's why we have to look at when the environment is the most favorable and when we think we can actually win at the ballot box.
What, besides what the polling is likely to be in 2016, which is greater for marriage equality, what other advantages do you have 2 years from now?
Well, in a presidential year, you have an increase in young vote, you have an increase in African-American vote, you have an increase in the Latino vote. All three of these groups are overwhelmingly supportive of marriage equality. It's just
African-American votes overall?
African-American vote. We have seen a dramatic increase in support for...
I didn't ask Peter Brown about that.
Yeah, we've seen not just in Ohio, but in other polling as well, that there has been dramatic increase in support for marriage equality in the African-American community over the last few years. It's really been a watershed breakthrough.
So you'll see more come out. Now, remember, I mean, in Ohio in 2004, the same thing happened, but in the opposite direction.
Right. Well, that's why we're confident that with the growing support that's already happening, coupled with a robust public education effort, and I mean, we're doing town hall meetings and we're talking to folks and training volunteers how to talk about marriage, but we are also going and engaging one-on-one with people who don't currently support marriage equality and helping them to change their mind. Those conversations take time and they don't happen overnight.
Are you actually going to tell people not to vote for this if it gets on the ballot in November?
What we are doing is communicating our concerns that the timing isn't right and also that the proposed amendment has serious legal problems that we have great concerns with.
Talk about the serious legal problems.
Sure. The proposed amendment, and first of all, I want to say that we all support allowing religious institutions the right to refuse to marry, to perform any marriage that doesn't comport with their religious beliefs. But this proposed amendment, in trying to protect that, throws the baby out with the bathwater.
How so?
It includes an unprecedented provision that religious institutions would not be required to perform or recognize a marriage. And it's those two words, or recognize, that are very problematic because there is no existing definition in state law or in the proposed constitution for what a religious institution is. So that means religiously affiliated hospitals, religiously affiliated adoption agencies, for example, could refuse to recognize a legal marriage. Think about that. That's pretty, and it's unprecedented, and it doesn't exist in any other existing law in any other state or proposed amendment in any other state.
Dan in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I found the story in the New York Times the other day very interesting about the divide between the two groups and the hesitancy of Mike's group there to go forward this year. I saw there was a quote in there by the current chairman of the Ohio Republican Party, Matt Borges, that we were not ready to go forward with this year. I was wondering if that had anything to do. I believe he worked for Equality Ohio in the past to promote marriage equality, and I was wondering why the change. I thought the whole point of Why Marriage Matters and Equality Ohio was to get rid of this ban on marriage. And I'm wondering if the Republican Party, frankly, has any influence here, because John Kasich would rather not have this on the ballot this year.
First of all, I can't speak to the past personnel of a partner group that we're affiliated with, but I can say that we are working every day to advance the cause of marriage equality. We will go to the ballot. We want to win it by hook or by crook, whether it's through the courts or whether through the ballot box. But we want to go when the time is right. That is our only concern, is to win marriage equality. We have no other agenda. That's our focus. That's what we're working on every single day, is to make this happen as quickly as possible. And from everything that we've seen and everybody that we've talked to, 2016 is the year to do that.
Thanks, Dan, for that call. We appreciate it. Email from a listener. I understand that Equality Ohio and the Human Rights Campaign, mm-hmm. HRC,
yep.
have complained about transparency of Freedom Ohio. I see Freedom Ohio has to submit financial reports to the Ohio Secretary of State explaining all expenditures by the campaign. Why Marriage Matters is a 501c3 that does not have to be transparent or report to the Ohio Secretary of State. Can Mike please share with Ohioans how much he will be making by delaying marriage equality in Ohio? Will they be posting expenditures for Ohioans to review? If not, why?
Well, first of all, as a 501c3, we file our tax reports, and we don't have to file with the Secretary of State until we change over to a ballot initiative campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fully in compliance with all state laws. I'm here in Ohio to win marriage equality. That's my job. That's what I'm working at every single day. And I'm not going to stop until we win. And my mother-in-law jokes that I'm the only person she knows whose job is to put themselves out of a job. And I will be the happiest unemployed person you've ever met when we finally win marriage equality in Ohio.
This is an email from Cody. It was probably more for Ian James, but you can address it as well. Wouldn't a bigger win in 2016 help solidify the case for marriage equality in Ohio and help fend off attempts to have it revoked if it were to pass, rather than a close call in 2014, thinking of what happened in Maine when it was on the ballot there? Is the threat of passing narrowly and then having it repealed a worry?
Well, I think Maine is a good example of what we try to avoid. In 2009, they passed it. It was signed into law. 47% of people supported marriage equality at the time it was passed. And when the repeal came forward 7 months later, despite a 2-to-1 spending advantage by marriage equality supporters, the support on election day was still at 47%. You don't win you don't move people with marriage equality by having slick campaign ads or direct mail or radio ads. You win by having one-on-one conversations, grassroots conversations in their communities with faith leaders, with business leaders, identifying people who will step forward and help to build support for marriage equality. And that takes time.
Ian James says you're not grassroots, that the people that support your organization and behind it are flying in and out of town. They're not really from here. They're not embedded in the soil of the state of Ohio.
Well, I can say that I am a resident of the state of Ohio. I have a home here. My wife and daughter live here with me. So this is my home. And I am very concerned about the people in Ohio right now who are being denied the right to marry the person they love. That is and some of those folks are my friends and people I care about. And that's why I've devoted my time and energy, and why the partner organizations have devoted their time and energy, as well as their overwhelming expertise in winning marriage equality campaigns, to this cause. Why wouldn't you want those people on your side? Why wouldn't you want the people who have been involved in every single marriage equality win in the room with you, at the table, talking to you, giving you advice? You don't take all of it. You do what was best in Ohio, but, you know, why wouldn't you want them?
Ian James said earlier, it's a power thing, a control thing.
It's about winning. It's about winning marriage equality. And that's why we're out every day. I mean, we were just at a town hall meeting last night in Athens, Ohio. 2 weeks ago, we were in Lima. And what we're doing is talking to folks about how you go out. People are desperate to learn how they can help and how to have these conversations with folks. And so we give them the training that they need to go out, time-tested training techniques of how to talk about marriage in a way that is appropriate and respectful and polite and can actually advance the cause.
If this goes on the ballot, if Ian James's group goes on the ballot in 2014, in November, is there a tipping point where Why Marriage Matters Ohio would jump in and help?
Not with the proposed language. No.
Not at all.
No. With the existing language, it's so problematic that even if we saw in September and October that the polling was in the mid-50s, we would not be able to support this amendment. It's so catastrophically flawed that it actually does more harm than good.
Okay, so say it passed. It goes into the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a big concern that because it goes into the Constitution, it's harder to change? You'd have to have another ballot issue to change it.
Well, what would happen is because the language is so bad, people would not be able to get married day one. There would be delays and years of litigation before things like what is a religious institution? What does that mean? And in the meantime, families who are looking for rock solid legal protection would be left in legal limbo. We want to go forward when the time is right, and we want to go forward with this language that is tested and airtight. Look, any language, any amendment's going to be challenged the minute it passes, but we know from experience the kind of language that will withstand legal scrutiny, and our folks, including the ACLU of Ohio, who have done a really big analysis of the language, say that this would not withstand legal scrutiny and it would lead to years of litigation before it would be resolved.
What challenges do you face going into 2016 now? What are your goals and what are your... What are the obstacles?
The obstacles are is that there's a lot of people still in Ohio who don't support marriage equality yet. And we look at everybody as a potential supporter in the future. So we need to find those folks, find out what their concerns are, and address those concerns. And it's all about finding the right message, but also the right messenger. I can go and give a speech and it would be well received, but it may not move hearts and minds the way that somebody local from their community, a business owner, a faith leader, a prominent elected official standing up and saying, I support marriage equality and here's why. We need to go. We're going out and we're finding those folks. We're training them on the tried and true messaging that works best and giving them the tools they need to get out and increase the support for marriage equality.
We know that Ian James's organization has just $30,000 on hand, apparently. They need millions. Won't you need millions as well?
Well, look, the folks that are opposed to marriage equality are going to spend whatever it takes to defeat any proposed marriage equality amendment. They're going to have tens of millions of dollars to spend. What we can hope for and what we would work toward at that point is to hold firm. In Maine, we had a 2-to-1 spending advantage and we still lost. In Ohio, we're going to be lucky to hold even. So that means we're not only going to have to raise money from small dollar contributions, but we're also going to need to go out and get some larger contributions. And what those folks want when you do the sit down with them is they're like, show me polling that shows that this is the year to win. And if you don't have it, they don't write the check.
If they fail in November, if it makes the ballot and fails in November, does it set you back or do you still move forward to 2016?
Well, look, we still move forward. We don't stop. But it is a setback. It's a setback in terms of the families who will be devastated when their hopes are raised, because this will be the second straight loss.
But it's not as if they won't vote for it again. I mean, vote for...
Right. But as we saw in Maine, there is a psychological impact to families. There's a psychological impact to volunteers. There'll be a big boost to the opponents of marriage equality because they will claim this as a win. No matter how much we spend, if this amendment goes forward and loses, the opponents of marriage equality will say, see, we told you, they can't win in the swing states. They can't win in the red states. It'll be a big boost. It'll be their first win in a long time. And it's a win that they desperately need to energize their supporters and refill their coffers. And we'd be handing it to them on a silver platter.
Okay. I'm sure we'll be talking again as things move forward. Michael Primo, campaign manager of Why Marriage Matters Ohio. When do you plan on filing, establishing your campaign? When does that happen?
Well, our public education campaign has already started. You're asking when we're going to switch over to a ballot campaign.
Right.
The timing, we're going forward in 2016. It's just a question of how soon do we need to flip over in order to get the signatures.
Right.
And that timeline hasn't been determined. But we will be on the ballot in 2016 and we will win. It's just a matter of working with our state and local partners and our national partners to determine the best time. Do we have the level of support we need to flip over, stop doing the public education and start doing the actual signature gathering, or do we need more time? Those are the kind of variables that we need to work out, but we absolutely will be on the ballot in 2016, guaranteed.
Okay, Michael Primo, he's campaign manager of Why Marriage Matters Ohio. They want to put the issue on the ballot in 2016. We've also spoken with Ian James, director of Freedom Ohio. That's the group that's pushing to have the issue on the ballot in November. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.